Well, hey, welcome Blackhawk family here in the room. Welcome everybody who is joining us at all of our sites, all of our venues. It's great to have a chance to be together again. And we're continuing today in our James series, but I get the chance to be up here just for a minute to actually introduce the person who is going to be teaching. Now, if you're part of the Blackhawk family, if you have been joining us from wherever, this is somebody who's familiar to you, Pastor Tiffany Malloy. Tiffany has been up here many times hosting on Sundays. She's actually had a chance to teach the last 2 years for Worship Where You Are, our service that happens the week after Christmas, and then has been interviewed up here by Charles. But this is the first Sunday that she's stepping up just to be able to teach live. She is the pastor of our spiritual formation ministry, and I'm honestly really excited to see what it is that she has to bring to our entire church family. So, if you can join, stepping up here for the first time is hard. And so she is a part of our family. So would you join me right now in warmly welcoming Tiffany to the stage right now?
All right, you guys. Well, thanks so much for having me. Let me start out by telling you about a story that I saw on the news a few years ago that caught my attention. Okay, so there is this family from California, and they found out that they were pregnant with kid number two. And so they thought, hey, it would be really cool if we could do something fun to be able to reveal the baby's gender as a family. And so they decided, okay, they're like, how can we do this? They're like, well, maybe we'll do one of those cool gender reveal photos where we use one of those like cool smoke bombs. I don't know if you've seen these before, where the smoke goes up into the air and it's either pink for a girl or blue for a boy, right? And so on September 5th, 2020, the excited family, they are gathered in a scenic spot. They lit the device, a cloud of smoke shot up into the air and revealed the baby's gender. But their excitement quickly turned to panic because they realized that a spark from the smoke bomb had actually caught the surrounding grass on fire. And so like immediately when they realized this, they started grabbing water bottles, whatever they could do to try to put it out. But you guys, no luck. The fire quickly spread out of their control. And so today we are talking about something so small, like a spark that, if we're not careful, can set our lives on fire. In fact, this small spark, it has caused the end of thousands of relationships. It's sparked the beginning of wars, and whole civilizations have risen and fallen because of it. So today, my friends, we are talking about the power of our words. And so like Matt said, we are in the middle of a series on the book of James that we have called Faith in Action. And so over the past 5 weeks, we have been working through chapters 1 and 2, talking about things like the role of suffering in our faith formation, favoritism, justice, right? Like none of which are small things. And so today we are going to be jumping into chapter 3, and y'all, it's another tough one, I'm going to warn you. And so if you have your Bibles or your Bible app, you can go ahead and turn to chapter 3, verse 1. And we are going to be reading verses 1 through 12. All right, verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Okay, guys, I'm going to stop here because do y'all see what that says? Like, this is my first message. I'm like wondering, like, should I just exit here? I don't know. I don't know if this is a good idea. Let's keep reading. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this shouldn't be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Oh, wow, you guys, welcome to Black Hawk Church. Aren't you glad you came today? All right, this is going to be a fun one. You guys, James is not messing around here. He has some tough stuff to say to us about the power of our tongue. But the thing is, right, like James, what he's doing here, he's actually doing on purpose, right? He's using these strong words and these strong imagery because, you guys, he's trying to evoke something in us. Did you feel it? Did you feel that coming up in you? Do you remember what Matt said? I think it was the first week of the series, how he encouraged us to view James kind of like a physical therapist. Do you guys remember this? Well, I think that could be actually a really helpful thing for us to pull back out today, because here's why. Right, when I go to my PT for my shoulder, right, she's really interested in one thing, right? She wants to get my shoulder working again. But what she doesn't care about, she doesn't care about how I feel about the exercises that she tells me to do, right? She doesn't care if they're a little bit uncomfortable. She doesn't care if they're a little bit painful, right? What does she care about? She cares about the healing and strengthening of a specific part of my body that's not working right. And in the same way, you guys, James really isn't super interested, doesn't really probably care how we feel about what he's telling us, right? Because he's actually doing it on purpose. He's trying to get our attention because he wants to bring healing to a part of our body that isn't working right. And so my challenge today as a pastor is I actually do care about your feelings, actually. So my temptation, right, is to say, oh, you guys, don't worry about him. Like, he didn't really mean it like that, right? He's a little grumpy. He's a little intense. Sorry about him. But if I did that, y'all, I wouldn't be doing my job. You know, maybe we'd come out of here feeling good, but you guys, we wouldn't come out of here ready to do the work that we need to do in order to experience the healing and the transformation that God desires for us. And I think actually the transformation that we long for as well. Okay, so this morning, let me encourage you, if this passage makes you feel uncomfortable, number one, me too. And number two, stick with me. Because our job, right, my job, your job, is to stay open to what the Spirit might have for us today. So you ready to start working through it? All right, let's do it. Let's go. All right, first things first, who is James talking to in this passage? Well, I think that's a really important question, right, that we should always be asking ourselves every time we approach a passage of Scripture. And so here we know from chapter 1, verse 1, that James is talking to Jewish Christians, meaning they were ethnic and religious Jews who had decided to put their trust in Jesus. And one of the things that we know is about them is that because they grew up in the Jewish tradition, they would have been incredibly familiar with the Old Testament, right? Like much more familiar than most of us are with our Bibles today. And so they would have been familiar, right, with these talkings about the tongue. Here's a few proverbs that they actually probably would have had memorized. Proverbs 13, those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. Proverbs 16, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. I love that one. That was good. Proverbs 21, those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. So guys, James's listeners, they would have known the power of the tongue, that it can harm or it can heal. But interestingly, James really doesn't focus so much on the positive parts of our tongue, although I kind of wish he did, because I think that would be way more fun to preach about and, quite frankly, probably more fun to listen to. But today, James really focuses in on how our words can derail our lives. And so that's where we're going to be spending our energy at as well today. Okay, so my next question, right? So if these Jesus followers would have understood the power of the tongue so clearly, then why is James making such a big deal about it here? Well, I think the problem was this, that even though they knew these words in their minds, right, like I said, they probably would have had a ton of this memorized. The reality is that this truth hadn't made it into their hearts, right? The reality is we see from the rest of the book of James that, you guys, this truth wasn't making it into the way they were living their actual lives together. And I wonder, you guys, maybe you've seen it along the way over these past 5 weeks. We see evidence in chapter 1, where it's saying they were quick to jump to frustration and anger and defensiveness with one another, that they were being totally flippant in the words that they were using with one another. We see in different parts of the letter that they were judging one another, that they were quarreling and fighting, they were slandering and speaking against one another. You guys, these were families, like a family of God. Honestly, you guys, they were a mess. And so James, he wanted to get their attention. He said, church, wake up. Your words, your tongue, it matters. It's not nothing. It is powerful. It has powerful effects in your life. So let's go back and look a little bit closely at some of the examples that he shares in this passage of what our words can do. So he says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. So if you notice, he's comparing the tongue to a couple of different things. So first, he's comparing the tongue to a bit in the mouth of a horse. And so I don't know if y'all have ever ridden a horse. Have y'all ridden a horse? Yeah, some of us. I remember the first time I did, I think I was in my 20s, and I didn't know what I was getting into, right? So I remember like approaching this animal, and the first thing is like, wow, this horse is much bigger than I expected it to be. I'm like gonna ride that, that's interesting. And so then I know I'm not the tallest person in the world. And so I'm like, how am I gonna get on top of that horse, right? So like even getting my foot into the little stirrup was tricky. But then once I finally awkwardly managed to get on top of the horse into the saddle, I thought, okay, so what you're telling me is all I have to do is like pull the reins like this way or that way or back, and like this horse is going to obey me. Like, are you sure? Like, have we tried it out on this one? Because if that doesn't work, I might die, right? Like, thankfully it worked, right? So what James is saying here, he's saying a small bit in the horse's mouth is all that it takes to get us to make the horse obey us. In the same way, our tongue, it is small, but it has a powerful effect on our lives. Or James says, maybe horses aren't your thing and you need a different example. And so let's take the rudder on a ship, right? So a rudder is so small compared to the size of a ship, but the pilot can use it to make the ship go wherever he or she wants it to go, right? Through huge waves, through massive winds. A small rudder moves a big ship. In the same way, he says, our tongue, it is small, but it is powerful, has powerful effects on our life. So as a part of my role as the pastor of spiritual formation, one of the things that I'm always thinking about, kind of the way I view the world really, is through the lens of formation. Meaning I'm always asking the question, right, like how is what we're doing as individuals and as a community, how is it shaping us and forming us? Because the reality is like we're all being shaped every day by a ton of different things. Things like the work we do, or if you're a student, what you're studying, the people we hang out with, the news we watch, the music we listen to, the books we read, the content that we scroll through on social media, the place we live, our family of origin, right? All of it forms us and shapes us every day. That's not a Christian thing, that's just a human thing. And so what James is saying here, he is saying there's actually something else that's forming us too, that our words are forming us. Look here again with me. He says, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. What James is saying here is he's saying that our tongue, our words, the words we say actually forms us. In fact, he goes so far as to say our tongue can actually, it can corrupt us. I don't know, maybe that's a little surprising to hear because I think, you know, for most of us, probably we think about how our words form, I don't know, maybe like other people or maybe even how other people's words form us, but how our words form us? I don't know, I guess I never really thought about it that way. Let me see if I can illustrate this for us. Let's talk about one of our favorite topics, gossip, right? So my kids call it spilling the tea. Some of you are like, I have no idea, right? You're learning something new today, that's great. All right, so gossip. All right, so I don't know where gossip happens most often in your world. You know, maybe it's like if you're a kid, like on the playground, or maybe at the lunch table. Maybe it happens over your phone, right? Texting or out having coffee with a friend. But one of the places that in the past it has happened to me, definitely not here at Blackhawk, but is at work, right? In the meeting after the meeting. Do you guys have meetings after meetings? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, right, we do. People are giggling. Yes, we do know what those are. Right, we know they're bad, you guys. We know that we need to avoid them, right? We know that there is nothing good that's gonna come out of the meeting after the meeting. And yet, right, there have been times when I have found myself after a particularly tough meeting, right, like finding my way down the hall into a coworker's office, like shutting the door, sitting down, and like words just start coming out of my mouth, right? Like things like, can you believe what just happened? What did they say? Like that was so dumb. Like what? Who do they think they are saying those things, right? Like has that ever happened to you? No, y'all are good people. That hasn't happened to you. But certainly I found myself in that situation more times than I would care to admit. So what's going on, right? Like what's going on with my words when I do this? Well, the most obvious thing is that my words are affecting other people, right? So I'm not moving towards conflict in a healthy way. And so that's gonna affect team culture for sure. Or if the person that I'm talking about finds out that I'm talking about them, right, man, they're gonna be, their feelings are gonna be hurt, trust is gonna be eroded, our relationship is gonna suffer. And then the poor person whose office I walked into, right, now suddenly they're roped into it and we have a mess. So we know that, right? That's how my words can affect other people. But how is gossiping about somebody else affecting me? Well, I guess I don't know. I mean, maybe not, right? Like, I'm just getting some words, you know, some stuff off my chest, or, you know, I'm telling the facts. It really is what happened, you know, or I'm going in and saying like, hey, can you help me figure out how to solve this problem, right? But the reality is, James saying here is that my words are affecting me. Because what happens to me when I gossip is that at first, right, it feels kind of good. I don't know if it feels kind of good to you, right? So like it, you know, it relieves some pressure from me. You know, as I'm telling it to this person is like nodding and at least pretending to agree with me. So I feel validated, right? I feel comforted. And it feels so good that maybe in my next tough meeting, I don't know, maybe I'll just kind of hold some words back. Maybe I won't actually have the conversation and say the words I really should be having in that meeting because I'm just gonna go ahead and talk about it afterwards instead. That feels much better. And so then what happens to me when I do that again and again and again, right? Well, it turns out that I'm developing in me a habit of deceitfulness, right? Like gossip is always behind someone's back, right? It's always something that we're trying to hide. Or when I gossip again and again, it turns out I become more judgmental. I become the type of person who is like more easily looking at the fault in somebody else, quick to tear somebody down instead of extending grace and believing the best and asking some clarifying questions. It turns out that gossip not only hurts others, but it actually hurts me as well. Guys, and that's just one example, right? There are hundreds of others. We could probably all think of some. All right, like what happens to me when I flatter someone because I want something from them? or what happens to me when I say crappy things about somebody because honestly, I'm jealous of them. Or maybe what happens to me when I bend the truth, or when I take credit for something that really isn't mine to take credit for. And then what happens to me when I do that again and again and again? Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Do you guys see it? James is painting a picture for us of what our words can do. He says, all it takes is a small spark, you guys. Do you remember the fire I was telling you about at the beginning? I bet some of you are like, finally, you're coming back to that. I was wondering what's happened. Well, that fire ended up taking firefighters 71 days to put out. It scorched over 23,000 acres of land. It destroyed 20 buildings, cost $42 million, and it took the life of one individual. And then the people who were responsible, actually it was fairly recently, right, they were sentenced to jail time, a ton of hours of community service, fines that they can't get out from under. You guys, they didn't mean to do that, right? Like, I bet they're like incredible, great people. But regardless, right, that small, unintentional, careless sparks has changed the course of their entire lives. And that's what James is saying here. He's saying all it takes, you guys, is a small spark to change the course of our lives. And y'all, this message really isn't easy, right? Because it gets at the very details of our lives. Right, because who of us is like, oh yeah, don't struggle with that. Tongue on lockdown, nothing's coming out, right? Negative's coming out. No, of course not. We all struggle with this, you guys. In fact, for me, maybe hopefully you find humor in this, when Charles and Matt asked me to do this message, I hesitated. Because y'all, I can't think of a topic that I struggle with more at this part of my life, right? So I was like, I remember when they told me like this would be the topic and I was like, oh my gosh. So I went home and talked to Jake and I was like, I think I laughed. Like, you're not even gonna believe this. Like, here's the topic. Isn't this ridiculous, you know? So we laughed about it. And then so I was like, oh, I should probably think about it a little more. And so I'm like, you know, what if I just read the passage? Like, I bet it's not that bad. Do y'all remember what that first sentence was, right? Oh gosh, I was like, yeah, now, no, not doing it. So then I thought, okay, well, you know what? Maybe I'll do it, but I think I have to talk to my kids first because my kids are the ones who probably have had a front row seat to the struggle more than anybody else. They have seen it more than anybody else. And so I sat down with them each kind of one by one and said, hey, you know, this is the topic that was given. And y'all, man, telling my kids like, man, who I am up here is who I want to be off the stage to. And so I wanted to make sure that there was, man, that they were okay with me talking about this. So they wouldn't be sitting right here today and thinking, man, that's not really who my mom is. So we had a conversation. They are good kids and they are honest kids. And so they're like, yep, mom, we seem to struggle with it. But they said, actually, maybe that's exactly why you need to do it. And so I said, okay, here I am. So why am I telling you this? You guys, because the struggle is real. It's so easy to feel like we're alone in it. Like maybe we're the only one, right? Like, man, if we could just try harder, maybe we wouldn't struggle with our tongue so much. We wouldn't struggle with the words that hurt people. Today, I just wanna say you're not alone. You're in good company. All of us are in it together. And so what do we do? Well, James says, I have some bad news. And we're like, yep, that tracks, right? No human being can tame the tongue on their own. Tame animals, yep. Birds, sure. Reptiles, yes. Sea creatures, I mean, he says yes. I don't know. You guys have a question about that one. But the tongue, no. Why? Why is that? Well, in Matthew 12, 34, Jesus says that it's out of the overflow of the heart that our mouth speaks. You guys, our words, turns out they come from our hearts. And y'all, our hearts, they are tricky. You know, I think for most of us, when we think about our hearts, we think about who we really are, right? We think of ourselves as like, there's this like core deep identity that's deep inside of us, right? It's like who I think I am is who I am. Let me see if I can. So like, I think that I am in general, like a kind and warm and generous person, right? But then when I say things that don't like match up with that, like maybe I'm rude to my husband, Jake, or I yell at my kids, or I send a spicy email to a teacher, right? I think, okay, that's not really who I am, right? Like, yes, I'm struggling. That's kind of like outside of me. Well, Jesus and James, they see it a little differently. They're saying, hey, sister, actually, man, those words, they're actually you. Like, they're coming out of your heart. Don't deceive yourself. You guys, our words, they reveal who we are. Our words, they reveal what's in our hearts. And the reality is, we can't control our words until our hearts are transformed. But y'all, this is where I have some good news. Is that if you are a follower of Jesus, when you placed your trust in him, you were given a helper. You were given the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is actually living inside of you and me. And guess what? Heart transformation, man, it's what the Holy Spirit does best. This is what the Holy Spirit longs to do in us. And you guys, that is really good news for us today. And so what do? Well, I think there's three things, three quick things that I think we can go to from here. So the first thing is that we decide to take James's words seriously. You guys, I think for some of us, man, we just don't know. Like, we don't pay attention to our words. We have no idea really how it affects the people around us. But unbeknownst to some of us, man, when we leave a room or we leave a conversation, it's like we have lit a match and walked away. And if we would just turn around, we would see the trail of fires behind us. But you guys, we never turn around. And so maybe today, maybe this week, the invitation is for us to turn around, to start paying attention to our words and how it impacts other people. You know, maybe at home, right? This is the place, right? It's the people that we love the most often, we're most real with, right? What do we say? What are our words to our spouses, to our roommates, to our kids, our siblings, our parents, our grandparents, our aunts and uncles, whoever we live with, right? What are the words that we say? How does, when we talk, how does their facial expression change? How does their body language change? What words do they say back, right? Those are all good indications of how our words are impacting the people around us. Or maybe it's at work, right? Like, how do we show up to meetings? With a little words, with a lot of words? What happens in the meeting after we speak? Is our words contributing to a healthy team culture where people are feeling encouraged? Or are people cleaning up our messes behind us? And then finally, maybe about with our friends, right? Like, what's the topic of our conversations? Other people? And if so, just get curious about that. Like, why is that? What's it doing for you, right? A friend the other day said, you know, one of the things that he thinks about is that if he were saying what he's saying about somebody, if they were there in that conversation, would he do it differently? Would he be okay with what he's saying? I think that's like really great advice. So that's our first step, to gain awareness. Our second step is to have some conversations. So you guys, when you slow down and pay attention, wow, you might learn some things about yourself that maybe you didn't know. And what we do with that information, you guys, is crucial. Right, in the same way that our tongue has the power to destroy it, actually, the opposite is also true. Our tongue has the power to bring healing and to bring reconciliation to relationships in our lives. You know, when somebody says, comes up, when we say to someone, hey, you know what, like I'm learning about myself, like there is a sermon at church and like she said I should start paying attention. And so I am, and like, man, I'm learning some things about myself. And so I just need to say, man, I am so sorry. I'm sorry for the words I have said to you, or I'm sorry for the words I've said about you. Man, I want to do better. Right, when we have these kinds of conversations, you guys, it does two things. One, it begins to heal the relationships that are fractured in our lives. And you guys, there are a lot of, we live in a culture where there are a lot of fractured relationships because of words that we say, whether that be in person or on social media, right? We know this. But it also does something else, these conversations do. Right, it begins to actually form us, begins to sow seeds of kindness in us, of humility, of grace, of gentleness, of love. As we have these conversations, y'all, we begin to see the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit grow in our lives. And you guys, this step, it takes a lot of courage, you know, because some of us, we weren't raised in homes where these kinds of conversations happened, right? So some of us are like, I hear you, this is great, but honestly, I don't know how to have this conversation. So maybe ask somebody to help you. Maybe it's a friend you can kind of role play with, or maybe it's a counselor that you want to talk to about and figure out how to have these conversations. But you guys, these are the kinds of conversations that really will begin to put the fires out that are surrounding us. These are the kinds of conversations that will bring healing to our relationships. And so first, right, we're going to gain some awareness. Then we're going to have some conversations. And then finally, this one is more of a long-term solution, that we can make time to spend with God. And some of you are like, oh, it kind of feels like a churchy response, and maybe so. But here's the thing, you guys. Our heart transformation, spending time with God, is actually the only way that it's going to happen. It's just like his one plan, right? So as we sit with a God who loves us, who created us, who desires to transform us more and more, right, into the image of who he is, and honestly, into the image of who he's created us to be. Right, as we spend time in scripture, reading, and listening, it begins to change us and form us. And so I don't know if y'all have like regular time with God, but you guys, if you don't, can I just say like, today's the day to figure that out. Right, so I don't know, for some of us, like maybe it's like just like getting up a little early. Maybe it's going to bed, like for me, going to bed later, right? After my kids are going to bed, I can finally have some peace and quiet, do that. For some of us, you know, our schedules are full, and I don't know, maybe it's like, gotta work a little less, right? Maybe take one or two less meetings. Or maybe we quit some things. Or I think for a lot of us, honestly, if we just like put our phones away for a hot second, I bet we'd have some time. I know that is for me. I've been learning that. But you guys, we have to do whatever it takes to be able to sit with God, to sit with the one who loves us, and to allow him to transform us, right? Because when he transforms us, like our hearts change, our words change, our actions change, our relationships change. And James says the course of our life changes. Pastor Charles Fuang, he's BCM pastor. He says like this, I love it. He says, when we spend time with God, when we spend time in scripture, it's like medicine. It goes down and it heals us from the inside out. And I love that picture. You guys, we need the great physician to come and bring healing and transformation to our hearts. And the good news is that that is exactly what he wants to do in us today. So would you pray with me? So as we just come before the Lord, I just would encourage you, you know, there may be things that God has brought up in your mind, maybe fires that, and maybe you've started even this morning. So I just want to give us a moment or two to come before the Lord and just tell God about that, to confess those to him. So Father, we do come before you, God, and we lay these fires at your feet. And God, we ask, Lord, God, that you would give us the courage and to pay attention to our words, to have some of these hard conversations. Father, for some of us, I know, like, man, this, for some people, this feels like a smaller thing. For others of us, it's a bigger thing. And man, so we come before you, maybe with some even like embarrassment or shame. God, we lay it at your feet because, Lord, you are a God who loves us and sees it. God, that you respond to us with grace and mercy and kindness and gentleness. And God, the good news is today is that we don't have to try harder. That's not the solution. And God, thanks for that freedom from that. And so God, we ask that you would just come before us, Lord, that you would do the work, that you would make a pathway for reconciliation to happen in our lives over these next weeks and months. And God, that we just say, we long for your transformation. We long for your healing. Thank you. God, thank you for being a God who is a God of not only second chances and third chances, but 90th chances and 91st chances, right? So God, we are so glad to be yours. And we're so glad that, man, that we're in relationship with a God of grace and of mercy. God, would you move in us today? Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.